We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, weekday morning 6 to 10 on The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck back tomorrow. Ryan Horvath slides over. Adam McAlvey, Mondays at 8 o'clock, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Adam, so much to talk about and trying to figure out where to start. So we'll just start with... We'll just start with what we were talking about before.
I hope it's Keston Hira.
Sort of.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's sort of, because what we were talking about was the Travis Shaw home run yesterday. And I know the Brewers, you certainly want Travis Shaw to get going. You want Jesus Aguilar to get going. Those two have been kind of lumped together, because if you're going to bring Hira up, you know, one of those guys, it would be at their expense. Does hitting a home run, did that buy Travis Shaw time, like, in any way? And I know they'll never say each home run counts five more days that we'll put up with you, but it just felt like for a June home run, I don't know if I've ever seen a home run that felt like as cathartic for the fans and the teammates as I think it did for the player himself yesterday with Travis Shaw.
No, I think he said it exactly right. And it's not like, he put tokens in the machine by hitting a home run and it allows him to play a little bit longer. But he's just got to show that he can drive the baseball. Travis Shaw's value to this team is hitting homers and hitting doubles. And this season, besides having a 170 batting average or whatever it is right now, it's the way he got to that number that has been, that's added to the frustration of everybody involved, that it's not been loud outs. It's been ground balls, strikeouts, obviously. And he's just got to show he can hit the ball in the air and drive the baseball, because that's where his value is. And I think that's why it was a good thing for him yesterday. But, you know, as he himself pointed out after the game, that doesn't solve it. He went 1-for-4 yesterday. He kind of had a hit taken away by the shift. He probably would have been a base hit in there pre-shift. But look, he's got to do it. He's got to have some games where it's like 3-for-4 with a homer. And he's not had those games yet. Mark Attanasio was in town the last couple of days. You can be sure that part of the conversation between Stearns, Attanasio, and Craig Counsell is this situation with Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar, and what they're going to do about it. The clock's ticking. There's no other way to put it. And everyone is asking, when is Keston Hira going to be up? When is Keston Hira going to be up? I don't know. Again, if I knew, I would not keep it to myself. But the only thing I can say is it feels like it's soon, because with both of those guys going bad, we're coming up on 81 games now. I think they are getting to the point where they're going to have to say, this guy is going too good at AAA. We have players not producing at the major league level. We got to make him. I mean, we're halfway through the season, got to make a move. And I think they are nearing that. And I would think after this homestand, we have a pretty good chance of getting our answers. Unless those guys just go off in the next six games.
Can you see the Brewers adding another bat before the deadline? I mean, obviously, you don't even have a spot right now for Keston Hira, who's arguably probably one of the better hitters on the team already. You know, with just a small sample size, do you think they add another bat, or is it just going to be all about pitching if they do make a move before the deadline?
Well, with David Stearns, I always have a hard time saying no to a question like that, because he'll surprise you with a move that you just absolutely did not see coming. So I'm not going to say no, but I just would say that I think the pitching need is so much more acute in both starting and relief. And it is so costly to go out and get pitchers in terms of the prospects you have to give up, even for a reliever. I mean, think about getting Soria last year. The cost was Cody Medeiros, who is a pretty top prospect for the Brewers. So I would say that it's far, far more likely that they add a notable pitcher than they add a notable bat. And like you said, I'm not, you know, where do you look to add would be the question, because I think the areas where you would look to add, you've got internal options in Hira and Dubon, who's, you know, Dubon's benefit is that he's really versatile and he's having a really good year. We'd be talking a lot more about him if Keston Hira were in such a topic of conversation. So I think that for a bat, they're better set to promote from within than on the pitching side. Right. On the pitching side, just to talk about that for a minute, I asked Stearns this yesterday or 2 days ago. You know, they went into the year and they always think about depth. Everyone gets tired of hearing about depth, but then it comes into play, so it's important. And they went into the year with, what, 7, 8 starters, 9 maybe, that they felt like they're comfortable giving major league starts to. Well, they've sort of exhausted that. I mean, they've given starts now to look at the number. I don't know what the number is, but it's got to be up there near 9 that the different pitchers have made a start for this team. They're going with Hauser again on Wednesday and at least one beyond that. I mean, they've sort of gone through what they have for internal options. And because Burns didn't work out, because Peralta didn't work out and Jimmy Nelson didn't work out, they've stretched that depth. And I think that is also a factor now as David Stearns, you know, what, 5 weeks to go before the trade deadline, as he starts to look at what they need. So pitching is definitely the need, if you ask me.
Right, and all the names that we hear, obviously the bigger names, Bumgarner, Marcus Stroman, even Mike Minor, Matthew Boyd from the Tigers also up there. But is there anybody else, like, under the radar that we should be looking at? Like, for example, Marco Gonzalez. I mean, obviously the Mariners probably going to be sellers at the deadline. Any names, like, we should be looking at?
Well, no, I mean, that's a great one. And I think if you GMs now are looking for players that are controllable beyond the 2 months. So like the CC Sabathia trade was an obvious rental. I think GMs now are more interested in players that are available for more than that. And I think GMs that have players like that are more open to trading them because they can get better players in return. And I think, conversely, the GMs giving, you know, trying to get those pitchers are more willing to give up good prospects because they know they're getting control. So there's to me, a more openness to trade players that you can get for a year and a half, say. And that makes it really hard to narrow a list because, you know, under the radar, I would just say, look at the teams that are in sell position and look at the rotation and see if there's anybody you'd like. And I think that you can have a discussion about a lot of those pitchers. Because of this new sort of landscape where guys like that get traded, where maybe they were less likely to get traded before. So that's a total dodge, but I just think that the list of available players, that's how the Brewers kind of look at this and how their pro scouts look at what are the possibilities. I think they're more open than they were in the past.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, and the Brewers are at a point now where they're, I mean, it is sort of fly by the seat of their pants here because they had a lot of things that they had planned not working out. They've already had to go get Gio Gonzalez, and then he gets injured. Corbin Burns was a guy, I think, that they thought would be getting them good innings as a starter at this point in the season. He gets sent down again, and I was chatting with him on Friday, so I probably jinxed his, you know, weekend. But I was chatting with him on Friday, and I wonder what going to the bullpen does for these guys that go back and forth like this. When you're a starter, what I've been saying is I want you to be a starter. So if you're not going to start like a Brandon Woodruff, I didn't like when they put him in the pen then. I would rather they start in the minor leagues. Freddie Peralta may be the same way. Corbin Burns, I don't know, maybe you do what the situation is going to be. When you talk to these guys, is that as big of a leap as I think it is? Because Corbin really, I don't think he was just giving me like the, you know, I just, whatever they think I'll do sort of stuff.
Yeah, but
I don't like to see, yeah, and I don't like to see them go back and forth like that.
Well, look, I mean that, yeah, I would say it's probably different for every pitcher. In right now, baseball is a game of positional versatility. You see that with position players, you know, Ben Zobrist was the model. Everybody wants their own Ben Zobrist. And now teams all have their own Ben Zobrist, and guys are able to move from position to position. Mike Moustakas, longtime third baseman, he moves to second, no big deal, and he has an all-star season. And I think the same is true of pitchers. I think there's an expectation that teams are going to be flexible with roles, more flexible than they were in the past when there was a more clear line drawn between starters and relievers. And I think most guys just want to be in the big leagues. And, you know, even Corbin Burnes, he clearly wants to be a major league starter, thinks of himself as a major league starter. And if I'm a betting man, my money is on him being a really, really good major league starter. This season, he's not a really good major league starter, and they moved him around. And I think most guys are able to cope with that. And you just want to be in the big leagues, and you just want to get outs where they ask you to get outs. It is a little bit of a challenge going back and forth. I mean, we're going to see Jimmy Nelson now have to figure out relief, which is going to be really interesting given how routine-oriented he is. But I think most guys are able to adapt to that, and a desire to be in the big leagues trumps whatever role they have a desire to fill. And sometimes that means bouncing back and forth.
Right. You're going to see that with Jimmy and then Adrian. So it's like, it's really interesting because with Jimmy Nelson, he's not going to the bullpen because he's going to help the bullpen. He's going there because he can't get it done as a starter. And then with Adrian Hauser, you finally find, like, this could be our setup guy. This could be like the Corey Knebel of last year. But we need you to start now. So it's just like, it's just a lot of patchwork from this team, and I don't know how long that can be sustainable.
Well, I would just say that is probably, there's 30 conversations like this happening around the country. That's what baseball is. That's what 162 games is. It's a patchwork for everybody. Rare is the team that sets its rotation and then rolls through a season. There's always going to be movement, I think, up and down from the minors and majors and back and forth from the bullpen to start. I mean, look at the 82 Brewers. They had that going on. There were guys that were bouncing back and forth. Jim Slayton did a lot of that, and all kinds of, there's all kinds of examples in Brewers history of that happening. Does it impact a player's performance? That's a legit question. And that's why I say I think it depends from guy to guy. And in terms of Adrian Hauser, I did ask Craig Counsell yesterday, is this move going to, cost you in the pen? Because there's questions out there. And Adrian Hauser was a real stabilizing force. And he said, well, yeah, he's pitching well, so yeah. But right now we need a starter. And this is a chance for Hauser to give them more innings probably as a starter if he sticks in that role than he is in the pen. The other thing is, they've got kind of two lined up, and then they've got Gio Gonzalez coming back right before the break. So maybe if Gio comes back and is able to stabilize things coming out of the break like he did when he first signed, that could give you an opportunity to move Hauser back. Now, this is exactly what you said you don't like, but I think there's a possibility of that happening.
Adam, obviously, I think the biggest move of the offseason was just bringing back Mike Moustakas, on pace to set career highs for on-base percentage, slugging percentage, homers. He's just on fire right now. How much money do you think he earned himself? Do the Brewers have a shot at bringing him back? And also, what do you notice different, from him this season? Obviously, a full season playing at Miller Park probably helps. Also, playing for a big contract, I guess, probably helps. But what do you notice him doing differently? He's just on fire this year.
No, I think your thought about a full season, just being grounded with a team, and that's why he took that one-year deal pretty early in spring training, is just to get grounded and not wait and not find himself signing late or going someplace he didn't necessarily want to go. He went to familiar surroundings with a team that's competitive, playing for a division, and I think that's shown up in the results that he's gotten. I don't think there were big swing changes or anything like that at this stage of his career to get him to these results. In terms of what contract he's going to get, I mean, good luck trying to figure that out. I thought he was going to get $100 million 2 years ago, two winters ago, because he certainly was a player that, if you look at his track record and who he is as a guy and all those factors, that should have got that kind of a contract. He didn't get it. Then he goes, okay, weird off season. He tries it again last winter. I don't know if he's going to get $100 million last winter, but I think he's going to get, multi-year deal and 60 or something like that. And here he is back on a one-year $10 million contract. So I don't know. It's hard to figure out sometimes what the GMs are valuing. There's things in Mike Moustakas' game. He's maybe a little more of an old school player, it's batting average, homers, and RBIs. And there's just more there's deeper stats that the GMs are looking at now. But I mean, Moustakas gives you good, pretty good defense. He's a really hard guy to figure out. And even after this production, I have a really hard time saying with certainty, okay, he's going to go out and get $50 million next winter. Because
I mean, switch positions and he's going to be an all-star.
Right.
Yeah, and I think he's played the position pretty well. Some Sabre defensive ratings came out today that are part of the formula to determine gold gloves. I tweeted it out if people are interested. I was interested to see where Lorenzo Cain is at because he's going for that first gold glove, and he's got so much momentum now towards that. But I was, you know, Moustakas is like middle of the pack of second baseman, which I think you'd take given you just moved in there. He's been fine on double plays. He had that really slick play up the middle with Arcia where he flipped to Arcia and they completed a big out to get out of a first inning the other day. I think he's made the plays there and been pretty good. And I mean, you guys know this doesn't show in the stat sheet, but just clubhouse guy he's top notch. So he's got all the ingredients of a player that should get a nice multi-year deal. And he's just not got it over the last couple of winters in this new era where anybody with an age that starts with a 3 is, you know, GM stay away from.
I hate to even say it, but with the way he's performing, if you are able to bring him back and you know you can, and let's say the Nationals do end up being sellers at the deadline or the Mets and you could get a big name, let's just throw Scherzer out there. Would you maybe think about packaging Kesson Hira because Moustakas has been so damn good, he could be your future at second base? Or no, is that just crazy talk?
No, look, I am not in the camp that thinks Kesson Hira is off limits. I mean, this is going to drive people insane, but if you think the Brewers need a big-time starter and you think that the conversation is not going to get stuck on Kesson Hira, I don't think you know very much about negotiations, trade negotiations. If you're a team that has a starting pitcher, a Boyd, Scherzer I don't think is going to get dealt, but a Bumgarner, I mean, that conversation starts with Kesson Hira. And when the Brewers say, oh, well, we have Corey Ray and, you know, Freddie Peralta, I think you say, oh, that's very good. I think you should, you know, call them up to the big leagues and let them play. Mm-hmm. We want Kesson Hira. And I think those talks are all going to get stuck because everybody obviously is going to want that player. That's going to be a challenge. He's just clearly the cream of their minor league crop, number one by far. So I don't know. To me, that's one of the biggest challenges facing David Stearns. And if you're a Brewers fan who says go trade for a starter and you don't acknowledge the fact that Kesson Hira might be part of that, I think you're making a mistake because he's got to be close to off limits, and it would have to take a hell of a trade to make something happen. But I don't know that David Stearns qualifies players as totally off limits. He is, at this word again, agnostic about making transactions. And if you want to make an impact move, that might be it. That's just my opinion on it. I don't know 100% how those conversations have gone, but that's just my guess.
Has he looked, when you've talked to him, has he looked into trading all his bad players for good ones?
That is a really good idea, Bart. And, you know, I haven't specifically asked that, but I will forward. You know, I think actually,
we'll get him on. I'll ask him that one. I'll do that one.
I think that instead of everybody tweeting at me that they should call up Kesson Hira, which is impacting my mental health, I would suggest a letter writing campaign, a good old fashioned letter writing campaign. Miller Park, his address is very easy. One Brewer's Way. Send a letter and say you think they should call up Kesson Hira and save the time it takes to write me that message. That would be fantastic.
Adam, appreciate it. We will talk to you at the ballpark.
See you guys.
Adam McKelvey joining us again. You can find him on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. He's all over the place. He is at Adam McKelvey. That's his name. That's where you can find him. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.